You understand he probably contributed most of the content of Mark's gospel. And of course, he wrote the two letters that are towards the end of the New Testament. But Peter puts things in a slightly more clearer and I think succinct way than Paul. I don't know if you'd agree with that. Don't you read some Christian books and you just wish they would say in 5 pages what they say in 500? Do you ever wish that? And preachers would just say in 5 minutes what they want to say in half an hour. Well, tough. You ain't going to get that one this morning. But Peter is, he just says it quite clearly and succinctly. And I'm just taken by this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd ask you not to look at your Bibles, because I'm actually going to put the words on the screen, and there'll be a different sequence to what you might read, because I just want to play with this a little bit. Well, not play with it, but expand it a little bit. And Peter, it's interesting what Marie shared this morning. Peter, as he writes this second letter, is saying, I know I'm not going to be around very long. My Lord has told me that I'm going to be facing death soon. And one imagines he probably anticipated martyrdom. And indeed, we understand Peter was martyred for his faith. He was crucified. And the story goes that he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same way as his Lord Jesus. He insisted on being crucified upside down. What a man, what a hero, what a saint, what a founding father of the church. He went, God took him from being a fisherman to being that father of the church. And that extends down through the centuries. And so I want us to look at something that Peter was desperate to communicate before he passed on to the other side. And I just love the way Graham reads scripture. You know, it's a crime to read scripture in a boring, flat, you know, unemotional sort of way, and Graham never commits that crime. And so Peter says in this first chapter, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, after my death, you will always remember these things. This great man, this great saint, was determined that he wanted to pass on and put into people so they would never forget certain things that were just key to him, that he wanted them to hold on to and live out. And I should have pressed my button. I will make every effort. I will make every effort to see that you guys get this, okay? And he went on to say, I will always remind you of these things. And one imagines every Sunday or whenever he spoke, he was constantly going over these things. Even though you know them, and the things we're talking about this morning, I know James Street now, and in good measure have lived out. And so, I just want to encourage you this morning, encourage me and everyone else here, in the things that Peter wanted to encourage these early saints. I think it is right to refresh your memory. That's probably polite speak for guys, you're forgetting this. Come on, remember this, you know. As long as I live in this body, I want to keep reminding you of these things because God's told me soon I won't be here. I won't be around to keep telling you and encouraging you these things. What things? Well, we'll come to that in a moment. But this great man of God was facing his last days, and in his spirit, he earnestly wanted to communicate something that would carry on in the believers after his death. And so he says to them, you guys, make every effort. To confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, we'll come on to these things in a moment, you will never stumble. And one of the sad aspects of having been involved in church leadership, I can think back over a number of folk who I've known in different churches who have stumbled and who have fallen and have stopped walking with their Lord. And Peter is desperate that none of the guys and ladies he's speaking to will fall away, will stumble in their faith, will be trapped in maybe sin or the opposition and persecution of the world or whatever. He wants them to carry on. Amen? And we're those who want to carry on, aren't we? You're still here. I'm still here. Come on, let's carry on. Let's not stumble. Let's put these things deep into our lives so that we never fall away from our faith. And this is the bit I like, you will receive a rich welcome into eternity, the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour. Are you up for a rich reward? I am. You know, people say, I don't follow God for rewards. Well, there's a truth in that. We follow God for who he is, but I want to go into heaven with something with me. The Bible says, lay up treasure in heaven. Now, do you want a couple of pennies or do you want £1 million in the bank in heaven? The Bible encourages us to lay up treasure. It's not the treasure of this world, but the poor of this world. There's some of the poor of this world here will be millionaires in heaven. Amen. So let's look. Let's say I want to have a rich reward, a rich welcome into eternity by doing these things that we're coming to in just a moment. But this is why Peter was passionate, that they wouldn't stumble and that they would receive a rich reward. I will probably get to heaven ahead of some of you guys and after some of you guys, but if I get to heaven ahead of you, I'm waiting to welcome you with your rich reward. Amen? Peter is saying, come on, there's more. There's more. Let's carry on. If you possess these things in increasing measure, this is the heart of what he's saying. These things we'll come to in a moment, but he wants them to go on growing in these things. You have these things, and the encouragement from Peter is to go on increasing in measure in them, all right? Don't think you've arrived. Don't think I've arrived. Not even Charlie has made it 100% yet. He's well on the way. Peter is saying the Christian life is about growth. It's always about going on to be fuller and fuller of the things of God. There's no end to what God wants to do in your life and mine. Amen? And sometimes I look back and I can see a period of my life when I've just plateaued. I've just stayed the same, maybe even gone down the slope a little bit. That's not how it should be. Peter is saying, come on, folk. You can have all the great things that God has given to us in increasing measure. Graham read in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, God has given us everything we need for godliness. He's given it to us. We need to take hold of it and work it out in increasing measure. Amen? It's all there. There's nothing God hasn't given to us. It's there for us to take hold of. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put that around a different way. They will enable you to be fruitful. Yeah? We want to be fruitful. I love being fruitful. I want to be fruitful. I don't want a day to go past where I'm a great achiever. I would tell you, I always want to achieve something. It might be cutting the lawn or it might be trimming the hedge. I want to get something done each day. I want to be fruitful. I want my life to have touched maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of lives. That's where fruitfulness comes, isn't it? In lives of other people, where we show love, where we care in times of need, where we share the gospel, where we pray for them and help them come to healing or deliverance, or we encourage, we build up. That's fruit, isn't it? Mainly in the lives of other people. There are other ways. But boy, don't we want to get to heaven with a basket load of fruit? That's what Peter's saying. Come on, these things, if you keep working them out, will make you fruitful in your life. Okay. For this very reason, because God has given you everything you need for godliness, for this very reason, do what? Add to your faith. Don't stay static. Don't stay where you are. Add to your faith. We have the ability, by the Holy Spirit, to keep adding to our faith. And, you know, faith can be understood in a number of ways. Firstly, what I would call foundational faith. We have that bedrock faith in God, don't we? We've come in different ways, in different paths. Maybe some people are still on a journey to find that faith, that bedrock faith. A faith that God exists. And there are many wise people of the world who would tell you God doesn't. Well, the Bible says actually they're foolish. He who denies that God exists is a fool. And even nature itself and the wonder of the universe and the wonder of biology says to me there is an incredible designer creator behind all of this. Amen. We can argue about how long it took and whatever. You know, faith is not so much about believing certain things are true. It's about an assurance that someone is there. Amen. We don't put our faith in Christian doctrine. We put our faith in God, in a person, in a relationship, in a God who is our Father, a God who loves us, a God who is faithful, a God who created you and me for purpose, a God who has a plan for us, a God who will carry us through. Amen? Faith is about an assurance that someone, God, is there, and is there for us, and is there with us. You know, to the great annoyance of many atheistic scientists and philosophers, God has decided that science and philosophy can never prove or disprove the existence of God. And many people out in the world there find that excruciatingly frustrating. Science can never prove God exists and it can never disprove. I believe science can show a lot of evidence for God. But simple men and women like you can experience God every day. Amen? Through faith, through our faith. Faith is the gateway to God, not science. Although I love science and all that it shows us about God's creation. Foundational faith. And then he said, you know, add to your faith, foundational faith, living faith. We need faith every day, don't we? We need faith for today. For the challenges of today, for what God may have called us to do today, for living. And, you know, the more you go on in the Christian faith, the more you know that you need God every day. And the more you turn to God and try and hear what he's got to say and do things his way and know he's got a plan, the better life is, actually. When we always try and do things our own way with our own rational thinking and our own ability, it ain't quite so good. You know, we need faith in every day. Foundation of faith, living faith. I just want a story that maybe combined the two. Our new community church has an involvement with a church in the biggest slum in Africa, in Nairobi, Kenya, called Kibera. You've probably seen it on the news. And Dio sort of heads up a little program to help feed some of the slum children two or three times a month and in a school. Anyway, we send teams out to do health education and so on. And there's a youngish man somehow got connected with us, not a Christian, not a churchgoer, but someone who wanted to go and do some good with a genuine heart. And the team said, come along. And they did their health education and so on. And then on a Sunday, they said, look, you don't have to come to church meeting, but we're going. They said, I'll come, you know. And he sat down in this church. And before the meeting started, he said to God, God, if you're really there, show yourself to me. And I think that's a great prayer, don't you? Oops, they're starting to leave already. I better shut up. And this young man just prayed that prayer and said, God, if you're here, show yourself to me. And the presence of God came down on him in such a tangible way that he will never, ever doubt God is there again. And in that moment, just on his own, no one preaching, no one teaching, no one doing anything, God met with him. Now, the amazing thing is that not only did he feel all this tingling through his body, but he had Crohn's disease. You know, it's quite a serious condition. He was on his way, you know, down the medical route to be having a colostomy bag and that sort of process. And right there, having said, God, are you real? God healed him. God is real. He's accessed by faith. The smallest little mustard seed of faith will do it. And God will come into our lives and he will do amazing things. Peter said, add to your faith. And one more thing before we get to the real finale. In 1 Peter 1, Peter says this, our faith is more precious than gold. We can lose sight of that some days, can't we? The things of this world can take precedent. Our faith is more precious and valuable than gold. The various trials we go through help refine our faith. Hallelujah for trials. No. We've got from the back there. Actually, it's through the difficult journeys of life that our faith can grow and does grow. So that when Jesus comes, our faith will bring us praise and glory and honor and riches, etc. It's faith that is the bottom line for all of us. And Peter said, add to that wonderful, glorious faith. These things. Make every effort to add these things. Now, there's a list there. Graham read them. You can read them yourself. These things, you know, we have seen here in James Street, these lovely things. And the encouragement today is, brothers and sisters, for all of us, to go on adding these things to yourself in increasing measure. I don't know, if you look down that list, what might highlight to you goodness? You know, there's so much non-goodness in the world, isn't there? There's so much grot and filth and horrible stuff. And Peter's just saying, add to yourself goodness, goodness of heart, goodness of thinking, goodness of attitude, goodness of action. You know, love good. Love the goodness of the kingdom. Let that grow in you and seek every day to be good and to do good. Knowledge. Even David Damp doesn't know everything yet about the Christian life. I mean, he knows more than most, but we can keep adding to our knowledge of who God is, of the wonderful scriptures, of the ways of life, the disciplines of spirituality. We can keep adding to our knowledge, can't we? Amen. Amen. Let's not give up learning. Let's learn from those who've gone before us. There's great stuff on YouTube. There's great preachers here you have every Sunday, I'm sure. There are other ways we can add to our faith. Go to a seminar, go to a conference, read stuff. You know, let's keep learning. Let's keep adding knowledge, particularly knowledge of our God. Self-control. You know, they say as you get older, particularly to your latter years, that who you are really comes out. You know, and some old people get really grumpy, don't they? And some just beam and smile and are lovely. And I think the jury's out for me. I think Di probably thinks I'll get old and grumpy, but I'm not sure. I think I'm... Okay. As you get older, you lose self-control. You lose your self-awareness. Let's have self-control. There are many situations that will niggle us and frustrate us, and people who will do that to us. The Bible says, act in self-control. Let the Holy Spirit keep you in check and keep you acting through goodness and love and so on. Perseverance. We keep going, don't we? And this world, I believe, will get harder for Christians. This country will get harder for Christians. I'm not a prophet. I may be well wrong, but that's my best guess. Let's prepare for harder times to come. And, you know, difficult circumstances hit us anyway, don't they? We don't need persecution to have difficult circumstances. There's plenty of tough stuff in life that goes on. And Peter's saying, come on, guys, persevere to the end. Look forward to where you're going, to that rich welcome into eternity. Godliness. We need godliness in these days. We need people who know how to get on their knees in prayer. We need people who know how to walk in the temple of God. We need people who know how to deal with things in a godly way. We can never stop learning about godliness and devotion to God. Brotherly kindness. We skip over that one. That's a bit too tough, isn't it, really? So, no, we'll do brotherly kindness. Okay. In the kingdom of God, in the family of Jesus, you know, Peter's saying, come on, be excellent at loving each other, warts and all. You know, we will rub each other, whatever, but keep showing family love. We have a heavenly Father who's given us so much love. Freely we have received, let's freely give. In the kingdom of God, we should be a demonstration of Christian community that amazes the world. Amen. And lastly, love, general and broad. Are you extravagant in love? God keeps challenging me. There's certain ways in which I find it more difficult to love than Di. Di's very generous. She'll give away all her money today and then we'll have nothing tomorrow. And I'm saying, whoa, we need a bit for tomorrow. Whoa. God's taking me on a path of just, you know, in that area and other ways of loving those who I find unlovely. Now, there are certain people who find me unlovely and have to learn to love me, you know. But we're on a journey. Should we grow? Should we go on? Peter says, add to your faith. Make every effort to add these things to your faith. And, you know, we can't do that this morning. We've got to take this home and think about it and pray about it. But let's take Peter's encouragement to add to our faith all these great things. Because at the end of the day, it's not what you do that defines who you are. It's who you are that will enable you to do the things that you do. Amen? And he's saying, be a person. These aren't doing things. They are being things, aren't they? We're human beings, not first of all, not human doings. He's saying, be that man and woman of God. And you ain't finished yet. And God is at work in us to enable us to will and to do his good pleasure. I haven't quoted that quite right. God is at work in you. Are you going to cooperate more? Are we finished? Or should we go on? Peter is saying, come on, folk. Let's go on in increasing measure. Take hold of these things and become the men and women God intended us to be. Amen.